Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. On April 24th, 2021, Deanne Warner spoke to her friend, crying tears of frustration, sadness, and anger. Her marriage was a disaster, she told her, and Dee said that she was going to ask her husband Dale for a divorce that night. Dee and Dale jointly owned a trucking company together and a large farm property in Tipton, Michigan. They were successful and they had financially done very well. That evening began a series of events that changed Dee's family forever. Dee's phone went dead and no one could find her. There was no activity on any of her accounts. And as her adult children and friends searched frantically for her, they found no sign of Dee anywhere. Dee Ann Warner had vanished. Almost immediately, Dale, Dee's husband, looked like a prime person of interest, not just because he was the husband, and we all know what that means statistically, but his actions were bizarre and he had plenty of motive. Motive in the way of dollar signs. The tangled web of Dee's case began in April of 2021 and continues to this day. Dee Ann Warner is still missing, but a plethora of clues have led detectives and family to one conclusion. Dee Warner is likely deceased. But Dale maintains his innocence in her disappearance and even claims to hope and pray that she comes back home one day. He says he still loves her. Court battles have been ongoing for various reasons, and finally, in August of 2023, an arrest. Not an arrest for murder, per se, but an arrest nonetheless in the case involving her disappearance. Where is Dee Ann Warner? Hello, and welcome to the Where Are They podcast and a special edition case update episode. This is a story I've been watching for a while, and we had a little bit of an update and some action possibly happening in this case. Before we jump in, a quick welcome to Roberta E. for joining us over on Patreon and supporting our show. Thank you so, so much for your support. Now, I've shared some of these updates on Dee's story over on social media. If you aren't following us there yet, please give us a follow. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Those links will be in the show notes, along with our Patreon link if you'd like to check that out. I first covered Dee's case last year and just recently reshared it to help refresh her story in the minds of our listeners and those that are just learning about her case now. Let's dive right in. The disappearance. Dee Ann Warner was born in 1968 and she raised four adult children by 2021. In addition, she had a younger child still living at home, a girl that was just 9 years old. Dale was Dee's second husband, and this daughter was born shortly after they married. Dee and Dale were parents, they were family, and they were business partners. They owned a large farm property in Tipton, Michigan, and Dee operated a trucking business out of that property. The business was successful with Dee at the helm. Dale also ran an agricultural business out of the property as well. But apparently their business practices were very different, and they often argued over important business decisions. By most accounts, the trucking business Dee was in charge of was doing well, better than Dale's. Although there could be many reasons why that was, they were completely different businesses. In April of 2021, Dale and Dee were at a breaking point. Dee had confided this to her closest friends and even some of her adult children. Specifically, on April 24th, 2021, Dee confided to a friend that she was going to ask Dale that evening for a divorce. She made arrangements to have her younger daughter stay with someone else that night. After that evening, Dee's phone went silent and no one heard from her. Soon, she would be reported as missing. The search and investigation. First, Dale told the rest of the family that he found Dee's wedding ring left on his desk, a clear sign to him that Dee had planned to leave him. It was his belief that Dee had just up and left him. But Dee's car was still in the garage, so if she did leave, the question became how, or with who? At first, when the sheriff department took the missing person report, Dale granted law enforcement permission to search the property. However, after about 2 hours, he rescinded that permission, telling them that he needed to get back to work, and if they were going to have to continue searching, they would have to come back with a warrant. Dee's children had the idea to take a look at the security camera footage on the property. It was a business and a farm with a lot of expensive equipment, and there were security cameras all around the outside. But after checking every camera, there was no sign of Dee leaving the home or the property, and they didn't see a car show up that may have picked her up. Of course, Dale as the spouse would be the primary focus, but there were some disgruntled employees as well. In fact, an employee's spouse had just sent Dee a pretty nasty and scathing text just a couple of days before she vanished. Authorities had to consider the fact that a disgruntled employee or a former employee could have wanted to cause harm to Dee or could have had a motive. Dee's family also went through a time where they wondered if she had maybe gone off to harm herself. But they just didn't think she would leave her family behind, which included grandchildren and, of course, her 9-year-old daughter. There was also the question of how she would have left the house, since there was nothing seen on that surveillance footage. Dale soon started to sell off some of their business assets, with at least on one occasion producing a power of attorney form that he claimed Dee had signed. Some of Dee's family and friends were immediately suspicious of Dale. His actions didn't point to a grieving spouse, but that was because Dale said he wasn't grieving. He knew that Dee had simply left, and he did hope that she would come back someday, if nothing else, so people would stop pointing fingers at him. All of the searches in the beginning turned up very few clues. In August of 2021, Dale claimed that he found a letter that Dee had written. It was in her handwriting, and Dale said he found it a week after she vanished, back in April. However, he was just now deciding to hand it over. The letter told Dale that she loved him, but she could no longer make him happy. And the letter abruptly ended without being signed, almost as if it wasn't finished. Family believed that she had wrote that letter a couple of years prior. On October 11th, 2021, the Michigan State Police, the Lenawee County Sheriff Department, and the FBI conducted a large property search at the farm using ground-penetrating radar and bringing in equipment to dig up specific areas. Many, many agents and officers were on scene for this search. The house was also thoroughly checked with luminol, and search dogs canvassed the entire area. Sadly, all those efforts from that search turned up no additional leads. The family hired a private investigator to help them find Dee, or at least to help them find some answers. In addition to uncovering some of the financial crimes that Dale had committed with regards to their businesses, the PI also learned that witnesses had seen Dale at 3:55 a.m. at his father's farm property. He was getting the keys to the equipment and storage shed, and these witnesses said that Dale seemed off. Dale was someone they knew. They had seen him around there before, and he was definitely acting different. He was acting strange. But Dale would deny that he was even there. In fact, Dale's Apple Watch would be an interesting point of discussion here, and Dale's attorneys would say that his watch could actually prove his innocence. It would show his movements and his heart rate during that time, and it would be consistent with someone who was at home and sleeping. However, when authorities and the PI had asked for that documentation to be provided so they could review it, Dale and his attorneys have refused to turn it over. So that's the gist of Dee's disappearance, the evidence found, and the subsequent searches for Dee, at least in that first year. But what happened in 2022 and 2023? Where are we now? Case updates. In September of 2022, Dee's adult children filed with the courts to have Dee declared legally deceased. Generally, a person needs to be missing for at least 7 years or more, although certain circumstances can speed up that process. For instance, if there is significant evidence pointing to that person being deceased. Or in the case of Dee, if there are outlying factors, such as their businesses. Dee and Dale were owners of a few different businesses, and in the months and now years after Dee vanished, Dale was making some very drastic business decisions. He sold one company, without Dee's permission, technically, and he started another one. He also moved assets around and sold off a lot of equipment and valuable business items that they had. And Dee's adult children were horrified and wanted to put a stop to this. Dale was ordered to cease and desist any of these business decisions in the meantime and work with a court-appointed conservator. The conservator was put in place to protect Dee's interest in these companies. That was a big reason the family had to file the paperwork to have Dee declared legally deceased. Now, the wheels of justice can move very slowly, but as another year passes, and the process to have Dee declared legally deceased was still going through the court system, everyone was getting antsy. Dee's disappearance was still an active and ongoing investigation, according to the Michigan State Police. In fact, they even formed a task force specific to looking into Dee's case. They were not going to consider this a cold case, not yet. On May 2nd, 2023, searches were reignited when authorities converged on the Shanks Golf Course and some nearby farmland with a concentration also along Highway M50. Was this due to a new lead that came in? Why this area? Authorities have been hush-hush on that, however. They haven't even told the family, so it isn't really clear what took them to these locations. Once again, specialty equipment was brought in to search, excavate, and canvass those areas. And it isn't clear what, if anything, was discovered. Just a few months ago, in July of 2023, a mysterious event took place at Dee's brother's farm. Their cattle barn caught fire, and sadly, over 25 prized show cows were killed in this fire. In addition to losing the cows, the property was heavily damaged, causing roughly $2 million in damages. Could it have been a fluke thing? Fires happen all the time, especially on large farms with dangerous chemicals and equipment. And Dee's brother said that he's dealt with fires before a couple of times. But he said there is always a noticeable reason, generally something that's easy to find or discover a cause, usually electrical or chemical. This time, there was none of those. The fire investigator was unable to determine the cause of the fire. The Warner family believes it could have been retaliation for them initiating the lawsuit to have Dee declared legally deceased. By opening the door for this process, Dale was put under the microscope with regards to all of his business decisions and financial transactions, something that he wasn't too happy about, as you'll soon see. On August 9th, 2023, there is finally some more movement. Dale was arrested for civil contempt of court for failure to provide all the requested financial documents and business records. Dale's assistant was also arrested, and both of them would spend 10 days in jail. Dale produced some of the required documentation, and then 1 month later, in September of 2023, Dale was arrested and charged with criminal contempt of court, this time for selling assets and making these financial business decisions that he was ordered not to do. It was also noted that he was not cooperating with the appointed conservator. This time, he was sentenced to 93 days in jail, ordered to pay back Dee's estate, and he was fined an additional $7,500. Present day. As of today, as of the recording of this, Dale is in jail. There has still been no additional leads uncovered in the case. The sheriff's department has publicly said that Dale is their primary person of interest. And knowing that at this point a crime was likely committed, Dale is more likely a suspect now instead of just a person of interest. Dale has found himself in plenty of hot water, but has not been charged with anything in connection to Dee's disappearance specifically. Dale and his attorney both claim that they hope Dee is alive and well somewhere and will eventually return home so Dale can clear his name. This case has had enough back and forth to make your head spin. The area of Michigan where this all takes place, Lenawee County, seems divided. Both Dee and Dale, being big business owners in the area, were known by many people. There is definitely a camp of people who believe Dale is likely responsible for something here. And there is a group of people who think that he is innocent and he is being unfairly targeted. What do you think? Could Dale be behind Dee's disappearance, as so many people think? Or do you think that he is being unfairly targeted based on the evidence we have now? Does making bad business decisions make him a killer? What about his other suspicious actions? One of the most interesting points Dee's brother brings up in an interview is, if Dale is innocent, why would he forge a power of attorney document? If he really hopes that Dee will return home someday, she would easily speak up and then Dale would face additional charges. Or is his financial situation that dire that he just doesn't care and he's willing to risk it? Or does he know for certain that Dee is not coming back? I don't know, but I am definitely curious to know your thoughts here. Dale's last court appearance was just 2 months ago, as of the recording of this, and he should still be behind bars, at least for another 30 days or so. It seems that with all the scrutiny he is under, that if there is more information to be learned about what happened to Dee, at least from Dale, I think we are on the right track to getting that information very soon. The pressure is certainly being put on Dale. But Dee Ann Warner is still missing. Dee is a mother of five, including one little girl, not yet a teenager. She also has four grown children and grandchildren. Dee has siblings and many, many friends. So many people are fighting to keep her story out there in the media and keep pressure on to finding Dee. Dee Ann Warner is described as a Caucasian woman standing about 5'4" tall and weighing around 140 pounds at the time she disappeared. She was last seen on April 24, 2021 at her home in Tipton, Michigan. Dee was 52 years old then and would today be 55. Dee has shorter strawberry blonde hair and green eyes. It is not known what she was last wearing. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of Dee Ann Warner or any information at all that may assist police with this case is asked to contact the Michigan State Police at 517-322-1912. Thank you so much for tuning in to this update episode on Dee Ann Warner. This is a case I will continue to watch closely, and if anything new develops, I'm sure there will be new developments, but anything that does pop up, I'll be sure to let you all know. Make sure you are following us over on the socials. Updates are generally posted there first, especially important ones since we can get them up quickly. And if you do have any feedback, or if you have any case suggestions for us, you can always message me on social media or email me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. I appreciate all of you so much for your support just by listening to these stories, commenting on them, following us over on social media, leaving us a review. All of this is completely free to do, and it helps us so, so much. It helps these cases reach a wider audience. If you'd like to help with our mission to help the families and charities financially, consider joining us over on Patreon or as a paid subscriber. Plans there start at just $3 a month. These families need every dollar they can get. Searching for a missing loved one has more costs than you would imagine. If you'd like to donate directly to any GoFundMes or charities, those links are always shared in the notes as well. A big thank you again to Roberta for joining us over on Patreon. Anyone else who is interested in joining, that link will be in the show notes. You can find ad-free episodes over there as well as extra bonus episodes. Keep DeAnn Warner's case in your mind and keep her family and friends in your prayers. The last 2 years have been long and painful, and the search for justice isn't over yet. In fact, has it even really begun in Dee's case? We will be back again very soon with another Unsolved Missing Persons episode. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.